This morning's message is keeping watch. Keeping watch. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. And any of you ever had to do a night watchman responsibility anywhere? Yeah? Well, not even necessarily as a job. How about like I at the camp for the evangelical church, the church that we were a part of before we moved to Iowa our second time to come and be a part of the Friends Church, we had to do night watches so the kids at camp weren't out running the campground at night. And me and my buddy Kevin would get there and we'd have our mag lights and we'd walk around making sure the kids weren't sneaking around. We'd always catch some and we'd always goof off with them and everything. But the thing is, we were there just to make sure that people were safe and nobody was getting in too much trouble and they weren't out to all hours of the night. They got back in by 1:30, 2 o'clock. They were supposed to be in by midnight. But the thing is that being a watchman is a big responsibility. You are entrusted with the care of a bunch of people. And you're there to look out for dangers, whether they be active dangers like attacks from something or whatever, like that wild raccoon coming in the middle of the night to jump through the girls' dorm window, or you got the the wild young teenage boy trying to jump through the girls' dorm window. So, or you got the real dangers with the things such as people coming on the campgrounds at night that shouldn't be there, or you got fires, campfires that weren't put out properly, things like that. You watch out for that, or you see kids running around that shouldn't be running around, and then they end up getting hurt, and you end up having to patch a knee and do things like that. So you got your ridiculous to your serious responsibilities. But a watchman is a serious responsibility nonetheless. And in this case, in Ezekiel, God called him to be a watchman. And this was the most serious of serious watchmen. So they were in Babylon during the exiles, and God called Ezekiel to be a watchman. And we'll start by reading the scripture out of the message. I have it for you up here. And it's verses 16 through 21. At the end of the 7 days, I received this message from God. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the family of Israel. Whenever you hear me say something, warn them for me. If I say to the wicked, you are going to die, I'll hold you responsible. But if you warn the wicked and they keep right on sinning anyway, I'll hold you responsible. But if you warn the wicked and they keep right on sinning, okay. Okay, sinning anyway, they'll most certainly die for their sin. But you won't die. You'll have saved your life. And if the righteous turn back from living righteously and take up with evil, when I step in and put them in a hard place, they'll die. If you haven't warned them, they'll die because of their sins. And none of the right things they've done will count for anything. and I'll hold you responsible, but if you warn these righteous people not to sin and they listen to you, they'll live because they took the warning, and again, you'll have saved your life. Okay. Do you get that? Basically, God tells him, if I tell you to tell these people who are sinners to stop sinning, and you don't tell them, and they die in their sin, they're still going to be held responsible for their sin, but I'm going to also hold you responsible for their sin. But if they hear you, they're going to be saved from their sin, and you're going to be off the hook. Secondly, if righteous people start backsliding, and I tell you to warn them, and you don't tell them, then they're going to also be held responsible and die in their sin of backsliding, and you're also going to be held responsible for it because you didn't tell them. But if you tell them and they don't listen, you're off the hook, but they'll still die in their sin. But if you tell them and they listen, you're off the hook, and they're saved from their sin. Get the point? That's that whole verse in a nutshell, basically. What a watchman is to do. Now, where does that take and put us today? What we are as Christians, as individuals, are watchmen. Watch women, whatever you want to call it. We're watch people. Okay, so we're here to watch out for one another. And the Bible is chock full of warnings of how we should be living our life. The other thing is, as a church, we are a watch people. And we should also be warning our community, our world around us, about the way they're living. Okay, as a group of believers, as friends in the Iowa Yearly Meeting, we should be warning people about the way they're living. As Christians as a whole, we should be warning people about the way they're living. Get the point? Christians, from the individual all the way up to the largest group you can gather together, are watch people. From the individual to the biggest group you can gather together of true, blood-saved, Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians. All right, so what does it mean to watch? What does it mean to watch? Does it mean to just sit back idly and look at things and take it all in and say, wow, they're really messing up? Because you know what? There's a lot of people out there that have a lot of good ideas about how messed up the world is and how things should be. And they'll sit there and they'll tell you how things should be, but hey, you know what? I'm not going to get involved because it's not my place. It's not my place to get involved in that. This tells me that it is our place to get involved. It is our place to get involved in the individual's life who is sinning or backsliding, whatever you want to call it. If they're messing up according to what God's will is, what God's word is, if they're sinning, it is our responsibility to get involved. If we see them messing up and we do nothing, not only are they in trouble, but you are held responsible by God. Not just the pastor, but you, as Christians, as watch people. If we see that they are in trouble, and they are slippery, sliding down that slippery slope of sin. Try saying that fast. Slippery slope of sin. And we do nothing. We are held accountable by God for it. And what does God say? He doesn't mince words, does he? Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. So, it's all on your head. It's all on my head if we don't do anything about it. So, we need to be involved in one another's lives. We need to be involved in one another's sin business. We don't need to be busybodies about it, but the obvious sins, which they are very obvious in a lot of cases, in most cases, I would say in all cases, we know people who are struggling with sin, yet for some reason we feel, you know what, in this 21st century world we live in, I don't have any right to get involved in their life. It's their choice, it's their decision. It's their business, it's not mine. God's word transcends time and space, and it is our responsibility to get involved. And if we don't, we are doing them a disservice, and we are doing ourselves a grave injustice. So, watch. Working together to keep each other accountable to the standards God calls us all to live by and teach to others through His Word, challenging us to grow as individuals and as a body of believers in humility, spiritual maturity, and holy boldness. That's what it means to watch. That's what I get out of this Scripture in Ezekiel. What it means to watch is we need to work together as a body of believers to keep each other accountable to the standards God calls us all to live by and teach to others through His Word, challenging us to grow as individuals and as a body of believers in humility, spiritual maturity, and holy boldness. That last part is important. The holy boldness, it should be the Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding us in what we do. We need to be firmly grounded in our own spirituality. We need to be firmly grounded in our own walk with Jesus. That's why when people say, you know what, it used to be the most quoted Bible verse in the world was John 3:16. Now it's, judge not lest ye be judged. Why? Because nobody wants you to be in their business. But in context, that verse really says, and you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again right now, that verse in true context of that scripture and of the Bible as a whole, Jesus is really saying, judge not unless you are able to stand up under the same judgment or the same scrutiny that you're holding that individual to. Not for all sin in general, but for that specific individual infraction. That specific individual sin. If you are calling somebody on a sin such as adultery, and you also are having an extramarital affair, you have no right to go and say something to somebody else about it. But if you have a exemplary or stellar relationship with your spouse and have never been in an extramarital affair or something like that, and you see a brother or sister in the Lord struggling with, in, or about to fall into the trap of an extramarital affair, you need to step up and say something. Even at the risk of losing that friendship. Because if they truly see what God is trying to do through you, they will come back to you and thank you someday. And if they don't, then their mind is not on the things of God, and their mind is on the things of this world, and they're going to do what they're going to do no matter what anyway, and they're going to go try and find a place where they feel comfortable as far as a church, where they can just live in as much sin as they want to, and nobody's ever going to say anything to them, and they're going to just keep on telling them God loves them no matter what they do as far as wallowing in sin. There's a lot of people out there in the world today that are looking for a church where they just keep telling them God loves them no matter how much you sin. It's not the way they put it, but that's the way they live it. That's not the way I preach it. That's not the way I pastor. That's not the way the Bible tells us to pastor or preach if you're a person called of the Lord to be a pastor or to be a body of believers. God tells us that He hates sin. God tells us that one sin, period, is enough to separate an individual from Him. No matter what it is, there is no difference in sin. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter. There is no like hierarchy of sin. Sin is sin. Period. Adultery is no worse than lying. Lying is no worse than stealing. Sin is sin. Period. So, you've heard me preach this from the day I got here, and you'll hear me preach it from the day till the day I leave here. Accountability is a must for the body of Christ. We need to hold one another accountable, and we need to allow ourselves to be subject to the accountability of truly, truly God-led, Holy Spirit-led individuals, not just people who are nitpicking because they feel like they've been nitpicked at, and they just want to start picking at you and trying to find any little thing to just complain about. And it's not really even sin. They're just starting to just try to find something to complain and make a big stink about you or whatever, or you know what I'm saying? Because some people will just do that just because for some reason they have something going wrong in their life and they just want to try and take the focus off of them. And they have sin in their life and they don't want it to be noticed, or they just want to try to distract everything else from that, so they'll just do anything they can to distract from it. And if they have to, they'll fabricate stuff for other people, or they'll just make big stinks about little stuff that ain't even sin, just little insignificant stuff to stir up trouble and cause discord within the body. And that's when you got to worry. So, that's why the whole thing of holy boldness and the working together is important, because you have to be on the same page with this. God was clear with Ezekiel. He goes, "You have to be on the same page with me. When I call you on this, you can't just say, well, you know what? I can't go to this individual. It was all right to go to so-and-so, but I can't go to this one. This one's higher up in the social ladder. I can't go to that individual. That individual has got some weight. I'm going to commit social suicide if I start telling this person they got something wrong in their life. God says, you know what? Social suicide's nothing compared to sin suicide. So, working together to keep each other accountable to the standards God, not we, not a church, not some committee, not the discipline of the Iowa Yearly Meeting. Standards God calls us all to live by and teach to others through His Word. Challenging us to grow. Notice, it's going to be a challenge for us, and it's going to cause us to grow as a body of believers and individually. As the individuals grow, the body will have to follow suit because the individuals are growing. In humility, not taking credit for fixing somebody's life, because you know what? The Holy Spirit led you to that individual. The Holy Spirit is the one that saves people from their sin and leads people down the right path. Jesus' blood's the one that cleanses, not you, not me. Spiritual maturity, knowing that, hey, I'm going to have to be able to stand there and listen when somebody comes to me and says, you know what, Dean? This issue in your life has to be addressed, and if you don't address it, it's going to cause some problems. It's going to turn into sin if it's not already sin. It takes a level of spiritual maturity to sit there and accept that in love and humility without just saying, I'll forget you. You're just doing that. And then the last one, like I said before, holy boldness. The holy boldness is the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you to the person to tell them about the situation when you've already recognized it through the eyes of the Lord, leading you and guiding you. It's that holy boldness that gives you that extra kick in the pants to get out the door and to go talk to them and tell them in love, speaking the truth in love, as the Word tells us. Not because you got something against them, not because you got some vendetta, but because, you know what, you care deeply about them as an individual. You love them as a part of the body of Christ, and you want nothing but God's best for them. And that holy boldness is something that will allow you to stand there and look them square in the eye and say, you know what? I love you so much that I can't live another day without letting you know what God has showed me needs to be addressed in your life. And you may hate me for doing this, but I'm willing to take that chance. Because your spiritual life is worth far more than our friendship. And I'm willing to take that chance. It's not easy. Believe you me. But when you do it, and it works out, boy, it blesses you and it blesses them. And I'm not just saying that as a segue to this song, but it's the truth. It blesses you because you were obedient to what the Lord led you to do, and it blesses them because they are now able to deal with and take care of the situation in their life that needed to be taken care of. And all this, keeping watch or being a watch person, is a desire to be a blessing to somebody else. not to be some hanging out in the dark, peeking up behind every little bush to try to catch them in something. But ready, willing, and able whenever God says, you need to talk to this person about this. Wanting to be a blessing to them. Let's sing our closing hymn, Make Me a Blessing, and I pray that you will truly understand the message that God has just given to us all. And the significance of it and the weight that it holds for the growth of our meeting and the growth of us as individuals.